ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। हरिः ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। Hariyom everybody, long time no see, but good to be back. So we're beginning chapter 5 of the Bhagavad Gita today, as you all know. Let us do a real quick overview of what has happened so far. We saw in chapter 1 the delusion of Arjuna because of his identification with his body, because of which he thought he was killing his grandfather and friends and cousins and guru, etc., etc. And due to his sattvic nature, basically being very sattvic, he realizes that what he is thinking and what he wants to do, which is run away from the war, is not correct. However, he doesn't know why. He realizes that he has what he's supposed to do, he's unable to do. And that part he doesn't understand. Why am I unable to do what I know? I mean, my intellect is telling me that, yes, I should fight this war, but my mind is asking me to run away. And why is there a dichotomy? Why is there a difference? And so there was a conflict. And because of his sattvic tendencies, he surrendered to the Lord, which was the best thing that he could do. And that's what we should do in case we are confused about something. The best person to go to is our Ishtadevata. And he did. And then Bhagwan started his discourse from the highest standpoint. We have seen chapter 2, the highest standpoint. He came down low, 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 so that Arjun could understand. And the lowest was, Arjun, if not for anything else, just think it is, you as a Kshatriya, it's your dharma to fight. And if you run away, then why is something going wrong on my screen? Whoa. Somebody else has taken Ashok. Are you doing something?
Just a minute. I just wanted to check what happened. I'm not sure who this is, but I think somebody is sharing the screen. I'm not sure who's that.
It is person named Chaya.
Who's Chaya? Yeah.
Can you, I think you're sharing your screen. If you go down on the top.
Are you talking to me?
No, it is someone.
No, you're not. You don't want me to do anything, do you?
No, it's not.
Oh, okay.
So,
somebody else is controlling my screen.
So I'm just seeing.
Ashok asked Chaya to stop screen sharing.
Yeah, let me.
Who is Chaya? Yeah, because her role. and you will be ready to gain that knowledge, which you never understood when I gave it to you. And the reason you didn't understand that knowledge was because your mind was not ready for it. It was not pure. At the end of the chapter 2, Bhagwan tells the Arjun asks for the characteristics of a realized person. And we study those characteristics so that we have a goal in mind. And we must try and figure out how far away we are, not anybody else, from that goal, and then try to achieve that that goal, those goals, which Bhagwan told in the last 18 verses of the chapter 2. But at the very last verse, Bhagwan said that this Sankhya Yoga, which is the Jnana Yoga, is the direct method for liberation. And this is what confused Arjun. If Sankhya, if Jnana, if knowledge is the direct means of liberation, why are you asking me to do this terrible act? Not only an act which is very beautiful, like, okay, pray to the Lord and bring flowers and do puja and all, you're actually asking me to kill, and you expect me to gain that moksha, which I'm asking for through this killing. And Bhagwan says, yes, because by doing your duty, it's not a random killing that you're doing. It is your duty that you're doing. And by performance of duty with a certain frame of mind, with a certain attitude of mind, will give you the purification, the necessary purification, which is required for gaining that knowledge. And you will then become ready to gain that knowledge. Then in chapter 4, which we saw last, so the principles of Karma Yoga were given. Remember that in Karma Yoga, the ego is there, okay? And the person who is trying to do Karma Yoga thinks that he is the doer. This is very, very important. Karma Yogi has the ego, because without ego, you cannot act. Unless I identify with this body, with my vocal cords, I cannot speak. And identification is what ego is. So ego has to be there. But what we are saying in Karma Yoga is that you are thinking you're the doer when you're beginning. Okay, fine. I'm the one that is speaking, or whatever. I'm the one that's going to fight the war. But offer that ego to a higher altar. So when you offer, for Arjun, offer it to Dharma, to the principles of Dharma, because you're fighting war for Dharma, for your country, for your guru, for God, whoever. When you offer that ego, what happens is that ego slowly neutralizes. And then this, I am doing this action, this notion, it is only a notion. That notion will thin, will become thin, will not be as strong. I'm the one that's doing and I'm going to enjoy. That is what is happening in Karma Yoga. Then in chapter 4, Bhagwan proceeds to say, Jnana Karma Sannyasa Yoga. So Karma Sannyas, renunciation of karma in knowledge. And what is the knowledge was given in verse 18 of chapter 4, which I told you was the essence, to see inaction in action and action in inaction. So I told you what it means. Inaction doesn't mean a physical renunciation of work. Inaction means seeing that substratum, that non-dual, non-doer substratum upon which this dance of action is happening, to see that. Okay, what this is doing now, when we are offering that ego now into another notion. It is a notion. Everything is in the mind. There's nothing external. There is no change. External, the work is going on as is. A karma yogi is doing this. A karmi actually is doing the same work. Karma yogi is also doing the same work. And a karma sannyasi is also doing the same work. The difference is only in the mental attitude. The karmi thinks he is definitely doing it and he is the one that he's getting, he's going to get the results, and he got the result because only of his own efforts. There's nothing else involved in that. That is what a karmi thinks. A karma yogi knows that no. These results are probably not entirely because of my efforts. There is something else involved. Maybe he doesn't know what it is, but there's somebody else, something else. Kartu radneya prapite phalam. So he knows that there is some creator, some ordainer who has a hand in the results. I should do my action to the best of my ability, but I must keep that in mind. So that in the karma yogi's mind, even though there is the ego, he is now bringing in this other factor. Now the jnana karma sannyasi, he actually now knows that definitely there is this substratum, which because of which all these actions are happening and because of which the results will come, and I am not the doer. So now he's surrendering this karma to this knowledge, and therefore it is called, the chapter was called Jnana Karma Sannyasa Yoga. Okay, at the end of that chapter again, Bhagwan tells Arjun, knowing this, he says, you act. So what Bhagwan has told him, understand that there is a substratum which is the non-doer. And the actions that are happening are because of that substratum. So you understand that even when you're acting, there is actually no action happening on your part. Because on your part means, when I say your part means you as the supreme substratum, there is no action happening. And if a person out of ego withdraws and says, I don't want to act, then even though he doesn't act, there is action happening. That part has to be understood. And that thought has to be in mind or is in the mind of a Jnana Karma Sannyasi. Okay. Now at the end of it, Bhagwan says that you act, you do this war. So again, Arjun is confused. Now here the confusion is, he says, in Karma Yoga and Karma Sannyas, you said Karma Sannyas is superior. Why I should do karma again? Again, the question comes. Because he is misunderstood. Even in the at the end of the second chapter, in the beginning of the third chapter, he misunderstood. He misunderstood that Jnana is superior and I can do. He misunderstood that there is certain qualification that is required for certain paths. In the beginning of chapter 3 only, Bhagwan said there are two paths. And they are meant for two different types of people. And what is the difference between the two people? Purity of mind. The one who has got extreme purity of mind can do Jnana Yoga. The one who does not have purity of mind but wants to gain that knowledge has to gain the purity first. To go into grade 6, you need to pass grade 5. Simple equation. So one who has passed grade 5 is qualified to do grade 6. Suddenly somebody cannot come and say, I want to do grade 6, but I've not done grade 5. And that's where Arjun misunderstood. He said, I can do Jnana. No, you cannot do Jnana, Arjun. Because if you were purified enough, when I gave you the first knowledge in the first 30 verses, you should have realized, like Nachiketas. When we see Katopanishad, we see that an 8-year-old boy also, when he was given the discourse on this, he realizes at the end. Why? Because his mind was extremely pure, which Arjun did not have a purified mind. Because he was a Rajasic prince. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong in being Rajasic. We are all in Arjuna's boat. Okay? What is wrong is when we try to do something for which we are not qualified, then we are definitely going to fail. And Bhagwan doesn't want him to fail. So he misunderstood. Now what he's misunderstanding? He's misunderstanding karma sannyas to be a renunciation of action and total physical renunciation. Of course, it's possible that he understood, but Bhagwan, it's better that he asked, because we would have misunderstood and we would have gotten totally lost if it would have been over in chapter 3 chapters, in 4 chapters, this Bhagavad Gita. So what he's thinking, what Arjun is now thinking, is that karma sannyas is renunciation of karma. He has forgotten the jnana in jnana. That jnana part he has forgotten. What is the jnana? That there is a substratum beneath all these actions. That he has forgotten. He thinks karma sannyas is renunciation. Karma is distinct. So I'm ready to renounce. I already said I will go away from the war. I will meditate. I will sit in the forest. I will ask for alms. Bhiksha I will ask for and live like that. So now why are you telling me this again? So this is the doubt that is arising. Now we are into Karma Sannyasa Yoga. Okay. So this chapter 5 will now deal with complete renunciation of karma. But this renunciation is not a physical renunciation. It is a renunciation knowing that I am that substratum. This is what this chapter is going to deal with. Because after this chapter, then Bhagwan goes into meditation, chapter 6. Because when you have actually renounced karma, once again, not physically, so you keep doing the karma, but you are firm in the thought that I am actually not the doer. These things are happening, around me, and this thought will come to you more and more as your mind gets purified. Let me tell you that. Okay, so as the mind purifies, and I told you, what is purity of mind? Absence of likes and dislikes. As soon as these likes and dislikes start getting toning down, they start toning down. So there's not that, oh, I love this, I hate this kind of a feeling. Then you will start realizing that actions are happening around you. And this karma sannyasi, he has not given up a single action. He's actually probably doing the same action that a karmi is doing. But he now firmly abides in the thought that I am not doing anything. And when he comes to this stage, Bhagwan in the next chapter starts meditation. So meditation is the sixth chapter. Now, coming back to our chapter, atha panchamo dhyayah, Arjuna uvacha, sanyasam karmanam krishna, punaryogam cha samsashi yashreyam etayorekam, tanme bruhi sunishchitam. Arjuna said, renunciation of actions, O Krishna, you praise. And again, yoga, performance of action. Tell me conclusively that which is better of the two. Tanme bruhi sunishchitam. Bruhi word we heard in chapter 2. Bruhi means tell me only, but don't tell me like, you know, okay, maybe, maybe not. Not like that. Definitively, bruhi, the word bruhi means tell. There are other words also for to tell, vacha and all that. But bruhi, when we use, it's definitively. And that's exactly what word he had used in chapter 2. So he says, tell me sunishchitam. Nishchitam, sunishchitam, sushtum nishchitam means very, very definitively, you please tell me. You are saying that sannyasam karmanam, the renunciation of action is superior. That is what you're saying, because that's what he said. And here Arjun is mistaking it to be complete physical renunciation. So that is like standing on two different boats which are going in two different directions. Because renunciation is disengagement and karma yoga is engagement. So you're praising disengagement, which I told you right in the first chapter that I was ready to do that, in the beginning of second chapter when I said that I will renounce and I'll go. And now you're telling me that engage. So how can one person do both? One person cannot engage and disengage at the same time. He has completely forgotten the part about the substratum. That's what he doesn't. He thinks that renunciation is a physical renunciation of action. And so he says, you're praising samshasi, you're praising, you praise disengagement and you ask me to engage. Why? Why should I do it? Okay, this is what his doubt is. Just like exactly very, very similar to the doubt in chapter 3 where he said, you praise jnana yoga, sankhya yoga, and you ask me to do this ghor karma. So same, similar type of a doubt he's coming. The thing about this sannyas, okay, we'll talk about it in this chapter, verse 2. Shri Bhagavan uvacha, sannyasa karma yogascha, nishreyas karavubhav, tayostu karma sannyasat, karma yogo vishishyate. The Lord said, renunciation of action and yoga of action both lead to the highest bliss. But of the two, the yoga of action is superior to the renunciation of action. See, any advice that is given, because there is only one person, when we are in a general satsang, okay, and maybe a general question is asked. So the person who is asking a question is saying that this is just generally I want to ask. Then that general question will get a general answer. But here that is not what is happening. There is only a one-on-one dialogue. So when Arjun is asking questions, those questions are specific to him. They are not general question meant for the entire army or anything. It is just for him because the advice is given only to him. So when Bhagwan will give an advice, it will be only for him. for us, we are totally identified with Arjuna. So this advice applies to us. But when Arjun asked, he's asking for a specific advice. And when one person tells his personal situation and asks, then the reply should be given as per that personal situation. Then a general reply cannot be given because that is not going to apply to that one person. So here what Bhagwan is saying is, yes, renunciation of action is superior, but the inner voice, but not for you. Same way, similar what he had said in chapter 3. Yes, Jnana Yoga is superior, but for you it can't be superior, particularly you. Why? Because you are not purified enough. Okay? In general, if general question is asked, is Jnana Yoga? Of course Jnana Yoga is superior, because Jnana Yoga is the direct means to liberation and Karma Yoga is not. So obviously as a judge, but if one particular person is coming and asking and that person Bhagwan knows is not purified enough, then he's going to know. Generally, yes, that path is superior, but for you, no, that path is not. Then for you, this path becomes superior. Same thing is saying here. Yes, generally, of course, because ultimately even Karma Yoga has to lead to Karma Sannyas. It has to. That is the goal. And even in chapter 3, it said there are two paths. There is a path of knowledge and the path of... Here also there is Karma Sannyas and Karma Yoga. And Karma Sannyas has to happen, but you're not yet ready. It's like, if I want a divorce, I should first be married. Only a married person can get divorced. How suddenly if a single person who has never married, I want a divorce, how do you get a divorce? How can you do Karma Sannyas without doing karma first? So karma has to be done. You are already doing karma. Now I taught you the principles of Karma Yoga. So for a spiritual seeker, karma, Karma Yoga, and then Karma Sannyas. See, in sannyas, the break of the word is Samyak Nyas. Samyak Nyas means very, Nyas is placement. And Samyak is very well. So very well placed. That is what sannyas is. Now, there are two types of sannyas actually. Okay. So one is called Vidvat sannyas and one is called Vividisha sannyas. Vidvat sannyas is, examples are Raman Maharshi or Ramakrishna Paramahansa. Or Nisargadatta Maharaj. See, Nisargadatta Maharaj was a householder. He had a wife, job, everything. And then he, because of his guru's grace and his meditation practices for 3 years, he realized. So even without taking orange and yellow and white and all those things, he was a sannyasi and he was still remained in ordinary clothes because sannyas is it the mind? It is not outward. Then there are other people who want to realize this and they are not that evolved that suddenly in 1 or 2 years they'll meditate and they'll get. So they take what is known as Vividisha Sannyas. And the example is all our brahmacharis and all our swamijis from Chinmay Mission. Okay? They are not Vidvat Sannyas. They have not suddenly realized and then they joined the mission. They would not join the mission. If they would realize, they would never come into the mission. They have come into the mission with that purpose in mind. So that is that other type of sannyas. So that's why Gurudev used to give them, gives them even now yellow clothes and orange clothes. That's a fence. That is an indication to other people that I'm trying to realize this. I'm trying to purify my mind. So I cannot get too much involved with the world. Okay. I'm trying to do karma sannyas. Now, if you look at our brahmacharis and swamijis, how much work they are putting out. So there is not a physical renunciation, but there is a renunciation with understanding. So there is a doing work, but the renunciation is at the level of the mind, where it is being reinforced that there is this unchanging substratum upon which these actions are happening and I am not doing anything. Okay. So here, this is the meaning that Bhagwan was trying to convey, Karma Sannyas. And that's why he says that, of course, karma, because Karma Sannyas is the goal. So the goal obviously has to be superior than the means. Otherwise, how can it be like that? So it is superior. But are you ready for it? Question is, are you ready? Arjun has mistaken this. He's gotten confused again. And therefore he has asked. So then what Bhagwan here, he says, yes, they both lead to the highest bliss. How do they both lead to the highest bliss? If one is engagement and one is disengagement, how can they lead to the highest bliss? How can they lead to the same goal? One is, on the surface of it, it looks like two opposite things, engagement, disengagement. How can they both lead to the same goal? Yes, Arjun, yes. Why? Because when you're engaging, we are asking you to engage with a particular frame of mind, which will give you purity. That purity of mind will make you realize that there is an unchanging substratum behind all the actions. And what will happen is there will be a sannyas, there will be a renunciation of doership, not the actual action. And therefore, that is a next step. Karma sannyas is it's a divorce. So you have to be married first. Then it's a divorce. So first you have to engage in action, and that engagement has to be with the correct attitude. Because even a karmi is engaging in action. Is a karmi going to go into karma sannyas? Never. Never. If he keeps on strengthening his ego, if he keeps on strengthening his doership, enjoyership, I'm the one that is doing. Why did I not get this? I'm going to try even more hard, this, that, everything. Mind is so agitated, there is no way that this knowledge is going to come. So we have told you to do karma yoga. Even now I'm telling you, Arjun, that you fight the war and you offer everything to me. Okay? So this karma yoga will lead you into karma sannyas, which is a renunciation of doership, not the doing. The doing has to continue externally, but internally the doership has to be renounced. Once the doership is taken care of, we need not worry about the enjoyership, because the one who enjoys is only the doer. If there is no doer, there cannot be any enjoyership. Enjoying, there cannot be any enjoying if there is no doer. So we need not worry. There are people who think that they are not the doer when they begin the karma. And when the results don't come, or they come, they get very elated or deflated. And that's what will tell you whether the doer was there or not in the first place. I can say, you know, I'm not the doer. I'm just doing this. This is happening. I can say whatever that I want to say. But what actually tells you is the result, their reaction to the result. So when the result comes, what is their reaction? Are they upset? Are they elated? Are they, you know? Then you know, if there is any kind of reaction that is shown, know that there is a doer. So these are two things. The karma yoga is attitude during the karma, and karma sannyas is attitude before and after the karma. Understand? Okay? It's only attitude. Nothing external is exactly the same. Whatever the karma yogi is doing, the karma sannyasi also is doing. Okay? But the attitude. So before the action, the karma sannyasi knows that he's not the doer, so that he does the action. And then when the result comes, he was not the doer, so the result doesn't affect him. Karma yogi, he thinks he is the doer, right? Karma yogi, still ego is there. He thinks he's the doer. Okay. But he's during the action, he says, I'm a servant of the Lord. I'm doing it for my country. I'm doing it for my child. I'm doing it for a higher altar, for my job, for my company, whatever, whatever. So during the karma, his attitude is different. Karma sannyasi, before and after karma. Okay. So, and how do they lead? Because purification of mind to karma sannyas, knowing that substratum, and that's what we're trying to do. The goal in moksha is to know your real self, which in technical language we call substratum, or if you want to call it atma, knowing who that jivatma is. The jiva brahma aikya is what we are trying to achieve. And that can be achieved only by the highest of purified minds. The mind has to be extremely purified. Okay, now, why so? So, because he said there are two paths and they reach the same goal. Neya sanitya sanyasi yo na dveshti na kaankshati nirdvandvo hi mahabaho sukham bandhat pramuchyate. He should be known as a perpetual sannyasi who neither hates nor desires, for free from pairs of opposites, O mighty armed, he is easily set free from bondage. Okay. So Nitya Sanyaya Nya No. No Saha. He is a Nitya Sanyasi. What is Nitya Sanyasi? And so is there an impermanent sanyasi and is there a permanent sanyasi? Yes, there is. Nitya Vastu is only one. There is only one Nitya Vastu, which is what? Brahman or Atman or God or Ishvara. So even Ishvara, technical Ishvara, no. Pure consciousness. Let's put it as pure consciousness, the self. That is the only one Nitya Vastu. So a Nitya Sanyasi, Bhagwan says, Yona Dveshtina Kangshati, not one who is wearing orange clothes, not one who is wearing opera robes, nothing external. Internally, likes Dveshti, Kangshati, Dveshti hates, Kangshati desires. So it boils down to likes and dislikes, because desires is, you're going to desire something that you only like. You're not going to desire something that you don't like. So Dveshti hates. So, and Kangshati desires. So this desires means like. So bottom line is likes and dislikes. So this likes and dislikes, one who doesn't have in his mind at all. How do we know that? How do we develop that? Acceptance. Anything that comes to us has to be accepted without any complaints. And if good also will come, I'm not saying only bad will come, then without complaint we accept. It's not bad, it can be good, not getting elated. That's what happens to us. What we are doing is when bad comes, we say, why me? But okay, if you're saying why me for bad, then even for good you must say why me. But that we don't do. There we are not sama. Bad is why me and good, yes, I'm the one that did all this, so yes, of course. No, either you say why me for both, or you say yes, I accepted the good, so yeah, okay, fine, bad also I accept. So that samatha, we talked about samatha in chapter 2, that is why Bhagwan there also he said sukha dukhe same krutva. This is exactly what, because the one who makes sukha dukha same krutva makes, having made sama, having made equanimous. Sukha and dukkha outside, they can never be. Dukkha is dukkha, sorrow is sorrow, joy is joy. In my mind, my reaction to that joy and to that sorrow must be exactly the same. Like Sri Ram, when he was told he will become king, same smile. When he was told he has to go into exile, same smile. Can we keep that same smile in both situations? Then we are a Nitya Sanyasi. Bhagwan says, then he is a Nitya Sanyasi. Because he has understood that everything is coming because of his prarabdha, that he's not doing anything. And so therefore he becomes a Nitya Sanyasi. One who is joined to the Nitya. Nitya is only one, pure consciousness. Nirdvandva, dvandha dualities. So these dualities are outside. And what these dualities outside means hot and cold. They're creating likes and dislikes inside. So there is a duality outside, fine. And then there is a duality inside as well. So rising above these pairs of opposites, okay? Nirdvandvo doesn't mean liking one and not liking other. No, rising above both. So what it means, nirdvandvo, is not getting affected by the pairs of opposites outside. They should not create a pair of opposite inside. Okay, so outside, whatever the situation, inside situation has to remain same. This sannyas is all about mental attitude. Huh? There's nothing outside is not good. It doesn't change for a sannyasi also. We've seen Gurudev had, you know, heart problems, and Raman Maharshi had something, and Ramakrishna Paramahansa had something. That never changed for anybody. That happens to us also. It happens to them also. We complain. They don't. That is the difference. So the difference is inside. Outside, there is no difference. Body is body. It will get diseased. There's nothing anybody can do. Mahabaho word is used. Mighty armed. Reminding Arjun, you are strong. You can do this. Because you know what? A weak mind cannot do this. This nadveshti na kangshati. Impossible for a mind which is weak. And a mind becomes weak when the likes and dislikes are strong. Then it is weak. Okay? So it cannot handle this. Therefore, they say to handle spirituality, you need a very strong mind. Otherwise, you can't. Because this is like walking on a razor's edge. Kathopanishad says, It is like walking on a razor's edge. It is that difficult. It feels easy when, you know, Swamiji has explained to us, but when it actually comes to following, it is not that easy. So Mahabaho, you're mighty armed Arjun, you can do it. My strength, not only outside, but inside strength is more important than the outside strength. Sukham bandhat pramuchyate. Pramuchyate, release. Pramuchyate prakarshena muchyate. Means release, extreme release. From what? Bandhana. What is the bandhana here? Bondage. Bondage is the likes and dislikes. That is what binds us. What binds us is our mind. It is, we are not, you know, Gurudev used to say, thank God, we are not like tied to our children, tied to our house. We are carrying it load on, you know, on our shoulders when we walk outside. It's not like that. But where we carry it is in the mind. I'm worried about my children. I'm worried about my house. I'm worried about what will happen, whether I'll get a job or not, whether I'll keep the job or not, whether I'll get a promotion. So all this worries is what is the bondage. That is what the bondage is. It's in the mind. So Bhagavan says that one who gives up these likes and dislikes and becomes nirdvand. Another word of dvandva is literally, the meaning is duel, right? Fight. You duel. You know, you used to have a sword fight or whatever, that fight. So nirdvandva, another meaning you can interpret it as, stop fighting with the world. Every time, and see, the world is a pair of opposites. Vancouver honestly has got record snow. Even yesterday it snowed in February. Unheard of in Vancouver, right? Unheard. We had to cancel Balvihar class. I just sat at home because, you know, we have little snow and we are totally paranoid because we don't know snow, what snow is. Now, this stop now. Enough. Why did it snow? I hope it doesn't snow. I hope this is the end. Now people will pick a fight. Can you fight with the world? What did we? Everybody is praying. Oh God, don't want any snow. Literally now they've forgotten their whatever. They're like, please no snow, God. Oh please no snow. What happened? Snow came. So this fight. What is the point? There's no point. Whatever it was going to, tonight also they're saying snow. The weather app is saying snow tonight. So I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow morning, right? I was very happy today is my Skype class because yesterday's class got cancelled. I said today at least I don't have to step out of the house. Point is, there is no point in fighting with the world. There's no point in fighting with our situation. Whatever is going to come is preordained. It's predestined. Okay? So let it come and then deal with it. Don't fight with it. That is the one way. If you take it as a dual fight, then that is what it means. Don't fight with external circumstances. Accept. And not that you don't do anything about it. Huh? That is not the meaning. Vedanta doesn't say. Some illness comes, you please take medication, you please do surgery, you please go to the doctor, all those things. There is snow, you put snow tires, you be careful. If you can stay without not going out, stay indoors. All that care, we are not saying don't fight means do whatever that you want to do. Not like that, but no point questioning it. Sankhya yoga prathak balaha pravadanti na panditaha. Ekam apyasthita samyak ubhayor vindate phalam. Children, not the wise, speak of Sankhya, knowledge, and yoga, yoga of action, as distinct. He who is truly established in one obtains the fruits of both. So here, children doesn't mean physically children, but those of childish intellect. That is what is meant. So here also children means adults only, but where their intellect is not very mature, that those ones. Okay. So Bhagwan says, children, not panditaha, the wise, they speak of Sankhya. Here I told you before also that this is Sankhya, this word Sankhya in Bhagavad Gita means knowledge, Jnana Yoga, because there is a Sankhya school of philosophy. And there is, you know, Sankhya philosophy and all. This is not the meaning. Sankhya comes from the word Sankhya. Sankhya means numerals. So the Sankhyans, you know, they are very much into logic and reasoning and all that, and therefore that is there. But here it means knowledge, intellect, knowledge which is gained through the intellect. So the path of knowledge and the path of action, the childish people of childish intellect, means whose intellect is not very mature, they think they are different. But the one who is established in one obtains the fruits of both. The reason that Bhagwan says obtain the fruits of both should not be taken that there is a different fruit for Karma Yoga and a different fruit for Jnana Yoga. The ultimate fruit is one and the same, okay, which is moksha. There is only one fruit. There is no other couple of fruits here or there. No, not like that. But to gain that ultimate fruit, knowledge is required. Okay, so ultimate fruit is there, which is the pure consciousness. To understand our oneness, Jiva Brahma Aikya, to understand that, purified mind is required. Okay, fine. Sorry, Jnana is required. Knowledge is what will give us that direct liberation. The minute I come to realize my oneness with that Brahma, I'm realized. It's moksha. But to get to that stage, the mind has to be very focused and no distractions. That means what? A focused mind is what? A purified mind. And for that purification, this yoga of action is required. It is mandatory. There is no other way. See, body you can purify. There is soap and shampoo and this and that and facials and all kinds of things we can do for the body. How do you purify the mind? Speech is purified by chanting the name of the Lord, by the way, just as a side note, if you want to purify speech, you can't wash your mouth. When children were growing, they say if the child used a bad word, make them wash their mouth with soap, then they'll never use it. But we cannot do that because we never use bad words. But to purify speech, chanting. But to purify the mind, chanting will help, but Karma Yoga is the best means. The action, physical action. And the reason is that man can live without chanting. We need not chant. It's not necessary. But action you cannot avoid. Will you stop eating? Will you stop, you know, breathing? Can you stop working? Can you stop this thing? No, you can't. You can stop chanting part of it, you can stop. But all these other actions, you cannot stop. So through that action itself, you try to gain the goal, because there is no other alternative to action. There's no other. If if you're Rajasic and if you really try to say that, no, I can sit and meditate for hours, try it. 5 minutes also you won't be able to sit. There is a story. There was a temple in a kingdom, and the king visited that temple. And he saw that everybody else was very busy working. You know, they were doing something or the other. The king used to support, previously the king supported the sannyasis and the temples and all that. So everybody was very busy like a bee, except there was this one person who just was sitting there. So the king asked his minister or whatever, he's saying, what? So the minister says, no, he just comes and he just sits there and he really doesn't do anything for the temple. So the king gets upset. He says, you know what? Stop his food. Why he should be fed? Why should the state feed somebody who is just not doing anything and just sitting there? So next day there's no food for him. So he says, what happened? So they said, this is what the king said. So he calls the king. He says, do you think that just sitting is very easy? He says, of course, what do you mean? You're not doing any work. Why should you even eat? He says, king, why don't you sit with me for one day and see? King says, of course, what's the big deal? I can sit. 5 minutes, and the king says, start his food right now. Because the king can't sit. Rajas. Right? So this rajasic tendencies inside will not allow us to sit until that rajas is really subdued to a great extent. That is why people have problems when they retire. People think, you know, first of all, they think job is permanent, which is not. Nothing is permanent in this life. Job definitely is not. Maybe not 65, maybe 70, 75. Someday you'll have to retire. And they don't prepare for it. So when they retire, then the whole house is empty. What should I do? Depression, this, that, everything. You have to start preparing for retirement, they say, from the first day of your work. The day you start working, you start, because it is going to come sooner or later. And it's actually sooner than most people think. So therefore, the point is that man cannot live without action. And if there is no alternative to action, and I need the purity, then the only means is to do that action, whatever is your, therefore, Bhagwan has not said you have to do voluntary work, you have to go, you know, join the mission and be it. No, your own duty. Because that's the first thing people are going to say to me, I'm married, I've got two small children, I cannot do all. Array, but nobody's asking you to do volunteer work. Your own children know your duty now is to cook, clean, keep them, you know, take their homework. Same work. Change the attitude. No need to change the work outside at all. And therefore, Bhagwan says that those who are wise, they understand this. That I have rajasic tendencies within me, which will not allow me to sit. Even if I want to do this karma sannyas and think about that substratum, this rajasic mind is not going to allow me to do that. It is going to push me into action. And then acting with that push, rather than have that, yes, the push will be there, but when I start acting, changing my attitude towards the work, then that push will reduce. It actually does reduce, let me tell you. Okay, the push of the vasanas, you come to recognize the push when it's happening. Previously, you know, when we act, we don't even realize that this is, there's the push. Then as the mind purifies, these are the signs of a purified mind. That's what I'm telling you. How do I know that my mind is purified? How do I know that I'm progressing? Recognition of that push will come right away. Oh, I'm acting out of a push of my vasanas. Then what you do is you decide, this action, is it correct or wrong in this situation? I'll give a very, very common example. Two people are talking, the third person will come and interrupt. Have you had this? Anybody? Yes, no? In a party, you're driving in a car, two people are talking, and then, you know, boom, somebody. That is coming out of the push of the vasana. Now what happens is, as your mind gets purified, that push may come, but you will immediately recognize it. Uh-oh, wait a minute. Hold on. You have not been asked this question. Don't open your mouth. Those two people are talking, it's got nothing to do with you. Don't interfere. So this is how, once you recognize the push, you will control it. You will be able to control that action. And if it is a correct action, then yes, you can do it. Sometimes what happens is, you know, it is correct action, but the means could be wrong. See, suddenly if I see somebody sees a house on fire, there's a child trapped in there, right? And suddenly that pushes, oh my God, I must save the child. Now this person just jumps into the fire, right? Pulls the child out. Now he himself is suffering third degree burns. So action is right, but were you equipped to do that action? Were you equipped to jump into that fire? So that those type of things will start coming in a sattvic. The purified mind is a sattvic mind. More sattva, more purification. Okay, so this is what Bhagwan is trying to say, that those who are wise, or those who have, now we have come in contact with a guru, we have come in contact with the mission, with Bhagavad Gita, we must understand that yes, at a certain stage in our life, karma is to be done. We must understand the attitude with which it has to be done, so that it will lead us to karma sannyas, which is not a physical. If that action is bothering you constantly, then it is better to actually leave the action. Because instead of giving you purity, it is giving you more and more impurity, more and more agitation. Okay, so goal, final goal, just one, pure consciousness. The goal of this people, those who are childish, they think, oh, this, those who are, you know, karmis, they think action will give the result. They don't even realize that there is something known as an internal result. this purity is an internal result. External result is whatever that action, you do hard work, you get a bonus, you get a promotion. That is an external result. But the internal result is what we spiritual seekers have to be after, not the external result. And then that is not different from what karma sannyas is trying to achieve. Okay, it's a path, it's a means. Yat sankhe prapyate sthanam tadyogairapi gamyate ekam sankhyam cha yogam cha yapashyati sapashyati. That place which is reached by the sankhyas, jnanis, is reached by the yogins, karma yogins. He sees who sees sankhya and yoga are one. So what is that place? Moksha. Liberation. From the thraldom of sansar, liberation from this constant cycle of birth and death. So what Bhagavan is saying is, so that when he says that's place, that is what it is. So the jnanis, what place they reach, the karma yogin also will reach. Only thing is, karma yogin little bit longer route. It's like karma yogin by train and maybe jnana yogin by plane. Okay. But I have to always, if I'm in Vancouver and I want to go to Toronto, I cannot start from Calgary. I have to start from Vancouver only. But the one who is in Calgary probably will get faster to Toronto than one who is in Vancouver. So ultimately the goal is the same. There might be a difference in time, you never know. But the faster you purify your mind, the faster that knowledge will arise. One thing I want to mention here is that we must not wait for mind to purify and then I will study. Not like that. We should do this simultaneously. As spiritual seekers, we should do it simultaneously. We should try to do all the work, whatever work that we are doing, whether it's in the mission, most of you are board members and this thing. So whatever work is being done in the mission or outside the mission, do it with the correct attitude and simultaneously also continue with the reading. As you purify your mind more and more, whatever is heard will make much better sense. This clarity of vision will come. There has to be purity of mind and clarity of intellect. So as the mind gets more and more pure, there will be more and more clarity in the intellect. Okay? So but we must not wait, I will purely first purify my mind and then I will go for... No, not like that, simultaneously. So here Bhagavan says that he sees who sees Sankhya and Yoga are one. Sa ya pashati, sa pashati. So the wise men, and Bhagavan himself says that don't think that these... That he's telling Arjun. See, this advice is meant for Arjun. Arjun, don't think that this is superior and that is inferior. The point is, where are you? What stage are you at? It's like, yeah, plane is faster, but you can't afford to go by plane. So you have to take the train or the bus. What to do? To go from one place to there, you can't afford it. Now, so there's nothing wrong. What is wrong with it? I can't afford the plane. Let me take the bus. Okay, so it'll take time. So what is wrong in having an impure mind? Because we have been born with impure mind. Okay, there's nothing wrong. What is wrong is if we don't try to improve that situation. We have a certain frame of mind. We've come with that. There's nothing wrong in having that sort of a mind. What is not correct is knowing it and not trying to improve it. So Bhagavan says here that those who understand this, who understand that karma yoga and this jnana yoga will lead to the same place, he will not question why I should do karma yoga. Like Arjun is questioning why I should do karma. He will not question. He knows, okay, the goal is the same. I don't have enough purity to do jnana yoga. Okay, fine. Let me do karma. Let me purify my mind. And at the same time, let me try to do satsang. Let me try to understand. As I become more and more pure, my understanding will be more greater and greater. It's okay. Nothing wrong. So this part is to be understood. So today I will stop here. And if there are any questions, please ask me. No questions? Everybody's okay. Good. All right. So we meet next Monday. All right.
We're glad to have you back.
Sorry?
We're glad to have you back.
Yes, I'm glad to be back too. You know, I know it was good actually that I didn't take the class right after I came back from India. I was so jet lagged at this time. You know, I was almost falling asleep. And then last Monday, of course, Swamiji was here. So that was this thing. And I had to get things ready. Padmaja, did you have a question?
Yeah, I have a question, Diaji. Yeah, first of all, thank you for getting back to us. We really like to be, you know, continue with the studies. Well, my question was, you talked about the reaction to the result when we were talking about doership and enjoyership, about sannyas. And you said it's actually the reaction to the result that we should not have. So if an action goes well, and you know that you have surrendered to Lord and you are trying to follow the path of Karma Yogi, and you are thinking that, okay, I'm surrendering it to Lord, and that action turns out well. It becomes very successful. So it is natural to feel happy about it, isn't it? But I'm not, so it's natural for anyone to feel happy when something works out well. Yeah. And feel happy if it doesn't go well. And maybe that unhappiness is because the person is thinking that, okay, next time I need to put in more effort to make it work.
Right.
So is that wrong?
But okay, no. Not wrong or right. But just let's backtrack. You said if you have already surrendered the doership to the Lord, right?
Right, yeah.
What is the meaning of surrender?
Means you are thinking that you are not doing it.
Correct. Right?
It's a Lord.
Sir, my acharya used to say, sir, head, yeah. Under. You know, sir, under. That is surrender. Okay. If you have not done anything and everything that you did was totally for the Lord, yes. Why are you happy if the success came? Why you should be sad? It is the Lord. No, Lord will be happy. You did it for him. No? There is a servant. I have a servant. Okay. I tell him, go buy things, this thing from this shop. Okay. Now he goes into that shop. And suppose at that point, there is a sale. Suddenly that thing has gone on sale. So he gets it for a lesser price. Do you think he's going to be happy? What is it to him? Did he save his money? He's doing it for me. He's doing it for the master. Okay. Right. Or he may go there and suddenly that day that price has gone up. Okay. Mm-hmm. Is it any sweat of his back? He's like, I don't care. My master told me buy it from here. Okay, here, you want $50 more? Take $50. What do I care? Right? If your surrender is complete and sincere, you will say, at the most, you can say, thank you, Lord.
Yes. But you're happy.
Lord. Well, but right? It is yours. Success is also yours. Failure is also yours. Mere ko kya? Mujhe kya hai ismein? That is complete surrender. If you say that, is it wrong to feel happy? Then the literal doership is there. Because the doer is, the ego is, who is the doer? Think about it. Doer is the ego. Mm-hmm. Okay. So anytime you feel, see, God, Lord, pure consciousness is beyond happy and sad. Om in your chart, you've seen the chart, right? Gurudev's Om chart. So Om is above happy and sad. The one who is feeling happy and sad is at the level of the ego. So if you say that my ego is totally, my the doer is totally surrendered, which means ego is totally surrendered, okay? Totally under his feet. What is there for me to feel happy or sad about? There cannot be. If there is any little thing, your surrender is not complete. And don't hit yourself on the head because suddenly you cannot reach this stage. This is a pretty high point of view, okay? Because somebody might feel, does she not have any feelings also? Okay.
Yes.
What happens, you know, I'll tell you, when the surrender is complete, the only thing that comes out of your mouth is, thank you, Lord. There's nothing else. Thank you. Thank you. It worked as per, this was your will and so it worked. So there is not that elation, 10 people, yay, this happened, yay, this happened, and then 10 people, depression, depression, depression. That sort of should not be there. The more the surrender, the less will be the reaction, both happy and sad. If there is a reaction, there is some doer present there. Surrender is not complete. The highest is only thank you, Lord. And if it doesn't work, okay, Lord, that means, okay, what's, it's no sweat off my back. It was your work. It didn't get done. Take it. It's much easier. Just give it.
Yeah.
That's why. Yeah. It's very, very, that's why this karma, karma is not, people think karma is very easy. People think karma, just karma is, yeah. But karma yoga is not easy. Let me tell you. Because the ego is at play. No, wherever there is ego, nothing is easy. Nothing is easy.
Okay, so keep doing it.
And as you keep on doing it, no, those reactions will get very much toned down. Then you know the doer is getting melting. It's in the melting pot. You know how if you put an ice cube or we make butter, we make ghee, right? So the butter, the 1 pound is there, then it reduces. It's like that. So as you go on heating it in the knowledge, heat is provided by knowledge. That doer will like that go on, ego will go on reducing, like that butter melts, and then clarified. So clear, the mind will become very clear. Then these reactions will be suspended. All reactions have to be suspended for moksha. Don't think moksha is that easy. It is easy and it is difficult. It's both.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay, thank you.
Keep applying the heat of knowledge.
That's right.
It'll come. There's no worries.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay. So I'll close and we shall meet next Monday. Om Purnamadav Purnamidam Purnat Purnamutachate Purnasya Purnamada.